Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Thursday, August 4th, 2011. An exhibit at Ottawa's National Art Gallery of Canada, Caravaggio and his followers in Rome, explores how one brilliant and temperamental artist changed the course of art history in a career that spanned less than two decades. The exhibit, which is on now until September 11th, was 5 years in the making and brings together a dozen of Michelangelo Merisi da Caravaggio's masterpieces, with more than 40 paintings by the great artist who looked to him for inspiration. Caravaggio transformed painting, offering a new way of seeing the world. Only some 70 works of the master still survive, and those are rarely sent out on loan by other owners. Not one of his paintings is held in a public collection in Canada. While Caravaggio may not have lived a Christian lifestyle, the controversial and hot-tempered painter was involved in fights, imprisoned, and was once a fugitive, he frequently painted religious topics. This exhibition charts the artist's development over the course of his infamous years in Rome, chronicling the profound impact he had on artists in Italy and across Europe.
I'm backing down, I'm backing down. Troops are gathering on my left and my right. I'm turning round, yeah, I'm turning round, because I hear the sound of the marching feet. They're getting closer and I'm feeling the heat. Somebody call for a hasty retreat and get me down to the mercy seat. I wanna know, and I wanna know, because it's cold in this desert and I'm needing some space. Oh, let me go, won't you please let me go, because I hear the sound of the marching feet. They're getting closer and I'm feeling the heat. Somebody call for a hasty retreat and get me down to the mercy seat.
That was Mercy Seat by Rockwood Area musician Glenn Soderholm. Glenn's the type of musician who paints pictures with his words and music. Well, today's guest takes paintings and invites us to use them to deepen our spiritual walk with God. Juliet Benner, the author of Contemplative Vision, A Guide to Christian Art and Prayer, is on the phone with us from Victoria, BC tonight. Good evening, Juliet.
Good evening.
Now, you have interest in both spiritual direction and art. What's the training you've had as an artist? Let's start with that part first.
All right. I, of course, took some art courses in university, art history. I've taught painting in high school many years ago, and most recently have been a docent at the Art Gallery of Hamilton for about 12 years, and it was there that I was teaching people how to see, how to read art, how to see beyond the obvious.
So what is a docent, actually? Sort of describe that. Some of our listeners may not know what a docent is.
All right. Docent comes from the Latin word docere, which means to teach. So it's really teaching people. It's leading them into the art and helping them to see, helping them to interpret and to respond and express their response.
Now, how have these type of positions shaped the way that you see the role of art in spiritual formation?
Well, I can tell you, more than anything, it was more Henry Nouwen's book, The Return of the Prodigal Son, his meditation on that painting, that opened my eyes to see what I was doing as being much, much deeper as I looked at art in a different way. Working in a public institution, you couldn't, of course, speak about specific Christian ways of viewing the art, but I began to see possibilities. And art in itself is a contemplative activity because it takes you out of yourself. And I'm also a calligrapher. When I do my calligraphy, much of my work has to do with scripture or religious poetry. And I use those times as prayer and meditative times. And so my calligraphy, my painting, is a contemplative process. It is a prayer process as I open myself to wherever the Spirit leads me in that process. So I think that's probably some of the ways that art has been for me a spiritual contemplative activity.
Well, I'm familiar with the Nouwen book. We, the church that I attend, studied that about 2 years ago, and we actually brought in someone from the University of Guelph who was an art historian who led us through some of the processes that Rembrandt might have gone through to actually create that painting, and just studying the painting and studying what Nouwen has said about it was a very enriching experience.
Mm-hmm.
Now, looking at this, what led you into the direction of becoming a spiritual director?
Well, my own spiritual journey has been fairly contemplative, and I just felt myself at a certain point in my life wanting something more, something deeper, and that is when I sought out a spiritual director who took me through the Ignatian spiritual exercises, which is a very, very deep way of engaging with scripture at a much, much more profound level than the intellectual. And it was there that I realized that I had a calling. And I've always related to people personally and individually in that sense. People have been coming to me seeking spiritual help. And so it was a natural follow through then for this calling to be a spiritual director.
Well, it would seem that when you take the art and you know, contemplating things like Rembrandt's The Return of the Prodigal Son and the Ignatian exercises and all of that, there's this coming together of both art and spiritual direction. Is that something you found happening as you were going through the spiritual exercises?
Oh, definitely, because St. Ignatius uses a prayer process, which is the use of the imagination in prayer. And what more imaginative tool is there than painting art in all its forms, music, drama, poetry, painting. And so he encourages the prayer to explore that, to get into the story and enter into the story. And one of the things that I do when I lead retreats or workshops and in my book is to invite people, when they've read a story in scripture, to place yourself within it. And I think paintings lend themselves wonderfully to that, because it is one artist's interpretation, and you'll see several interpretations of a story. So it's his or her meditation on a story. And it just opens up a whole new way of entering into that story, which you may not have realized as you read it. We all think pictorially, most of us do, when we read. And in a sense, we're creating a painting in our mind. And when we see an actual painting, a representation of that story, it opens up that story even further, and we place ourselves in it, and we experience that story.
Mm-hmm.
The feeding of the 5,000, what would it like be like to be there, to listen to Jesus, to feel the heat and be among the crush of the crowd and to hold the bread and the fish. And it's entering that experience, which I think is so important, to really learn to walk closer with Jesus.
Right, and that's that whole method of Lectio Divina, the divine reading of placing yourself into the situation, into the story of Scripture.
Mm-hmm, exactly, and that's part of my book as well, is first of all, using that Lectio Divina process to read the Scripture, and then almost doing a Lectio or a video Divina of the painting that relates to that.
I want to get into some details on how you do that and how you unwrap that in the book in a couple of minutes. But one of continuing with this is, when you were going through the Ignatian exercises, is that when you yourself started using some of the artworks and art to help you as you were going through things like Lectio Divina and the contemplative prayer?
I did, actually. And as I said, working as a docent sort of was a natural step more toward that, but I found that the exercises just made my imagination come alive as I walked into the story and had conversations with people in the story in my prayer time, that I began to discover. I went on the web and I discovered paintings which related and began to use in my own personal prayer life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've had the opportunity to study some of this and actually be involved in some spiritual direction, and I guess the challenge that some of our listeners may find is that whole aspect of using imagination and placing yourself in Scripture. How can you sort of guard against this just becoming your own imagination taking off, to making sure that this is something that is helping you draw closer to God in that whole experience?
Very good question. I think for too long we as Christians have been suspicious of and afraid of the imagination and the senses. Ignatius also has a prayer of the senses. And if we are in God, and God is in us, and God has given us the gift of the imagination, He's given us the creative abilities, and He's given artists creative abilities, then we just have to trust that whatever God gives us in that moment, because we are in a prayer posture when we do this process,
mm-hmm.
that the Spirit of God is guiding us and leading us. And all I can say is, if you find yourself being drawn away from Christ, being drawn away from God, then obviously don't do it. That's not what is drawing you to Christ.
Right.
The test is, are you being drawn closer to God? Are you becoming more of a loving person? Are you more exhibiting more the fruit of the Spirit through these exercises? That's the test.
Going back to your own experience and when you started to use the Ignatian exercises, what was the first painting that you remember going to help you in this process of deepening your spiritual journey as part of the exercises?
Mm-hmm. Again, it was the Rembrandt, Return of the Prodigal Son, because it was about leaving home,
mm-hmm.
and then returning and finding a God that is forgiving, a God that doesn't mind if I'm all messed up and accepts me right where I am. And that's the beginning of the exercises, where we view ourselves in relationship to God in a creaturely existence who has sinned and needing God's forgiveness.
I remember now in describing what happened to him when he actually got to the Hermitage in Russia and see the original painting. Have you ever had a chance to see the original painting as well?
Yes, I did, and I just wept. To see it, its size is enormous, and to stand in front of it and to actually see it, and the light in that painting in the flesh is just incredible. It cannot be captured on a reproduction or anything else. But to stand before it, you are just awed. I was awed. And again, you know, I couldn't help but be drawn into it and be pulled into that Father's embrace as I allowed myself to enter into it. In spite of the people around, in spite of the crowd, it just pulls you in because of that light and because of that embrace that just holds you there and rivets your attention.
Well, we need to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Juliet Benner, the author of Contemplative Vision, and we'll actually get into some details about the book and how the book can help you. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
Top a river in the canyon, a vastness that took my breath away. Then it quickly disappeared and hid within the shadows, changed its shape there for another day. It creeps on up into your room and steals into your dreams and unlocks all the doors into the palace. Now a clear and sparkling pool, sometimes a muddy stream. Then again, it softened this bright sadness. Now it was taught some time ago for those with ears to listen. It's like a treasure and it's like a pearl. And then it's not just quite like this, or even just like that. No, not easily caged within this world. It creeps on up into your room and steals into your dreams and unlocks all the doors into the palace. Now a clear and sparkling pool, sometimes a muddy stream. Then again it softens this bright sadness.
Welcome back to Arts Connection, and you've been listening to This Bright Sadness, the title track of Glenn Soderholm's latest CD. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Juliet Benner. Looking at, as we've been talking here, your two areas of interest, the art and the spiritual direction, come together in Contemplative Vision, and I like the subtitle, A Guide to Christian Art and Prayer. What led you to actually putting your thoughts about art and spiritual direction down into a book and onto paper?
That's a good question. This book actually grew out of a retreat that I led along with my husband. We have been leading retreats for the last 15, 20 years, mostly overseas in Southeast Asia and Australia, New Zealand. And in these retreats, we began to introduce paintings along with our prayer times with Lectio Divina. And there's a journal called Conversations, a journal of spiritual formation, which began about 12 years ago. And I was asked by them to choose a piece of art for their journal. and write a guided meditation on it. So out of these retreats has grown this body of meditations on art, which then went further into this book.
Mm-hmm. Now, walk us through chapter. We started a little bit earlier where you're talking about, you know, part of it is the Lectio Divina and then moving towards the meditation on the art. Walk us through what a person would experience as they were going through one of the chapters of the book.
Okay. Each chapter begins with a theme, if you like. The theme is based on a passage of scripture. But before I go into that, I should probably say that you can read the book sequentially. There is sort of an order, a loose order to it.
Mm-hmm.
But you can just pick a chapter as the interest grabs you. So I begin with the need for us to be aware of God in our midst at all times and in all circumstances. C.S. Lewis says, you know, God is almost always incognito. But even though the world is crowded with him, let me read that quote. The world is crowded with God. He walks everywhere incognito, and the incognito is not always hard to penetrate. The real labor is to remember, to attend, in fact, to come awake. Still more, to remain awake. So my book begins with the need to awaken to God's presence, which is all around us. So let's start with that first section of the book, which takes us through then how we can learn to see. And so my book is really practice in seeing, practice in noticing God's presence. So I begin with a passage of scriptures, for instance, Christ in the wilderness, or Jesus in the house of Mary and Martha. And the important part of contemplative prayer has to do with sitting in stillness and quietness before God. It's attentiveness. And you can only be attentive to God if you're still and quiet. So I begin with the story of Mary and Martha. The passage I invite people to read slowly and contemplatively and reflectively, taking time in silence just to listen for a word or a phrase that captures your attention, taking time to pay attention to what memories, what associations come,
mm-hmm.
and quietly thanking God for those gifts. Then turning your attention to the painting, which is in the book, and at this point, because the book, the reproductions are quite small, it's helpful to use an image on the computer screen, which gives you a bigger image, so where you can see the detail. And then you sit and just look at the painting. And then sort of, again, in a Lectio Divina fashion, notice what grabs your attention. Notice what things attract you and seem important to you, and then just sit with that and listen to what the Spirit may be speaking to you in it. And so I lead three people through this process, giving you suggestions of what you may see and what the artist may have or may not have intended. It is a very subjective process, so this is why I encourage people
mm-hmm.
to just use this as a jumping off point and just to stay with whatever God has given you at that moment. And then the most important question, of course, for me then is, as you place yourself in the painting, what do you experience? What is God saying to you personally through this? And then in quietness again, sitting, coming back to the scripture, looking back between the scripture and the painting, and just staying with it in stillness for as long as you need to, and then thanking God for whatever gifts emerge.
Well, and I have to cut in there, and I have read the book, and I've had a chance to look through it, and the process and the aspect of contemplation is really neat, and does lead you into a deeper walk. Looking at this, do you have to be an art lover to experience the book? Do you have to be somebody who really enjoys art?
No, I don't think so. I've had many people come to retreats and workshops that I've led who come up at the very beginning and say, I'm not interested in art, but I just want to hear what you have to say. And at the end, it is always the art, not what anything that I've said, but it is always the art that speaks to people, because mm-hmm. it speaks to a deeper place than just the head. It speaks to the heart. And if we allow ourselves and just come with openness and trust that God has gifts in this and in all things around us, then I think God can speak to us. And so no, we don't really have to be an art lover or an art appreciator or even know anything about art mm-hmm. to experience this.
What I think it speaks to is the fact that we become such a visual society, and image has become an extremely important part of what we are, and this allows image to become part of what we would use to experience God at a deeper level.
Mm-hmm, very true. But often we are bombarded with images in this society, and so we don't treat them. They can be sacred. Everything is sacred if God is in all things. And because image is such an important part of our society, we almost trivialize it. But this really forces us to slow down, mm-hmm. really look, and to be still.
Where can listeners find out more about Contemplative Vision?
You can get it through Amazon, order it through your Christian bookstore, or any bookstore, I suppose, mm-hmm. I think.
And just a final part, there are parts in the back where it talks about how to use this within a group setting as well.
Mm-hmm. I give sort of a process of how to use it in a group, yes.
Well, thank you, Juliet, for today.
You're very welcome. It was a pleasure to be with you.
And thank you for listening to Arts Connection. Thank you to my guest, Juliet Benner. Be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter at selaw13, S-E-L-A-W-13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selav Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.